Hey folks, welcome to the show. Hey Sharad, how's it going, man?
It's going well. I'm interested because today is slightly different from our usual core competency of fintechs. We've got something very, very hot and topical today.
Yeah, absolutely. Not that fintech is not hot, but yeah, today is a bit of an exception. But I'm noting that last few episodes have been like that, so I'm pretty happy that the mix is diversifying. And today's guest is also interesting because his product is part of the Zoom chat while we are, you know, speaking with him. We have with us Krish Ramaneni, co-founder and CEO of Fireflies.ai. Fireflies, for those who live in a cave or under a rock, is an AI note taker which transcribes, summarizes, and analyzes meetings. And I'm sure it does a lot more. Krish, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Hi, Nikhil. Hi, Sharad. It's great to see you guys and great to have this conversation.
No, likewise. Krish, you had a pretty interesting journey. Your company was, I think, founded in 2015. Then you raised a nominal bunch of capital in 2017. Then you did a seed round of $5 million in 2019. And then you launched in 2020, right at the confluence of COVID changing how enterprise level conversations are happening. Was it all planned? Did you have some sort of a glass ball in front of you? Would love to know the early days of how, you know, you chanced upon the specific use case, which ended up being so relevant.
Wow. If anything, nothing goes according to plan. You can have all the plans in the world. We started this journey in 2016 when my co-founder and I moved to San Francisco. We set up shop. I had turned down grad school at Cambridge to do this. I had no idea what enterprise software was, really. I had a little over a year under my belt of experience at Microsoft previously. And so I can say we were naive. And we were doing all sorts of different projects, different experiments. So our real journey, you know, did not start till about 2018, 2019, when we started building the core voice technology that turned out to be Fireflies. Once we had enough conviction in the product and the technology in 2019, we raised our seed round. And for that time, it was relatively large. It was $5 million. And we launched in January 2020. 1 month later, pandemic happens. And because Fireflies joins your Zoom meetings, Google Meet meetings, Teams calls, there was an influx of demand for this type of product because everyone was having video conferencing exhaust. Like, they were having too many meetings and too much to remember. So I think timing was definitely like there, but it was, again, luck. But I'm also someone that believes that luck happens when you're ready and prepared to take it on. So we had to learn a lot. And through that 2020 period, it was an incredible roller coaster. But yeah, fast forward, we kept growing, scaling. And then 2021, we raised our Series A, which was the $14 million led by Coastal Ventures. Since then, it's been, one hell of a ride.
Krish, would love to get a quick primer into what all Fireflies does. I mean, obviously, from an outside-in perspective, you embed, your product embeds their applications, records, transcribes, voice conversations, and also kind of, you know, in a way, automates certain aspects, right? There is an insight layer as well, in addition to, transcription. So would love to kind of, get an inside-out view in terms of what all are the different cogs and wheels there.
Simply put, Fireflies is an AI meeting assistant. It joins your meetings just like a participant or a secretary would. It will capture the meeting, transcribe it word for word with relatively high accuracy, 90% plus, and it will then create human-style notes. These are action items, shorthand notes, paragraph summaries. And on top of that, it will help you search back through to any conversation you've ever had with the platform. So if we were to revisit our conversation and have another meeting a year from now, I can remember exactly what we said 6 minutes into the call and how we discussed the pandemic and launching around then. So beyond search capabilities, we also do other things like sentiment analysis, intent detection, what questions were asked, and other types of insights like, am I talking too much on the call? Should I be listening more? Am I using filler words? All in all, the core piece of this AI meeting assistant, AI note taker, is that there is gold buried inside conversational data. And we want to be able to turn that unstructured data into a structured repository or knowledge base for organizations, because all work originates from conversations. It's usually after a conversation that an email gets sent out or some sort of project spec or document gets created. So we said, why not just go straight to where those conversations are happening? And meetings are very expensive, especially at the C-suite level, at the management level, and even for individual contributors. You get four people into a room, 1 hour of their time each. Think about how much that adds up over a long period of time. And that's why they say, right, like people and organizations spend billions of dollars every year in wasteful meetings. And one way we can have a way to recoup that is having better meetings and fewer meetings. And Fireflies allows you to do that.
And when you say reasonable accuracy, I remember like that was the first thing you said. Like, how do you quantify that? And I'm sure that's a moving target. And I'm sure things have progressed a fair bit over the last 2.5-3 years, also in terms of, you know, the level of technological intervention from your end, plus your access to data. So how do you define reasonable accuracy here?
That's a great question. So accuracy can be quantified through certain metrics like word error rates. There's industry benchmarks that people use. And that was a question people used to ask maybe 3-4 years ago. And that is one of the biggest crux of building it, is accuracy going to be good? And in fact, if you go and read the transcript today, you can almost tell no difference between a human and an AI-generated system. We were far from that as an industry a decade ago, maybe even 5 years ago. But we bet on the fact that the cost of transcription will go down, because again, human transcription is insanely expensive. So if you want to do machine transcription, that's also expensive and you can make it affordable. And the second part is, we believe, just like with other technologies, that it was going to progressively get better and improve over time, like work across accents, work across noisy rooms, all of those sort of things. But yeah, like I think different benchmarks usually are used in this. But like the simplest thing that I like to say is, take a piece of the transcript, read it. Does it make sense? Can you understand it? And if a human were to write that, would they get, what would that matching rate be? Would it be like 95% similar? I would even argue that there have been cases, especially for languages like English, which we specialize in, that it does better than offshoring it to someone to transcribe.
Quite interesting, right? I mean, at the from a consumer standpoint, it's sort of voice to text, and I'm getting that. And it's got a longer shelf life because it's sort of saved somewhere. From your perspective, right, when you are accumulating, you're holding on to that data. Now, I understand the data privacy and all that, all those things, but once you have these text files generated, which are sort of, you know, text transcriptions, what else can you do with that, like in terms of further analysis, or sort of does that feed back into your engine for heightened accuracy, or is it just sitting there because there is not much you'd like to do with it from, for whatever reason, privacy reasons, or Is that valuable to sort of extrapolate and sort of build on things?
I think that's a two-part question. First is, well, I think it's important to clear the thing around security and privacy and training. We don't like to do this cross-level training for people, and we want to make sure that you own your data. And so a lot of what we do is making sure that your privacy controls are respected. Now, there are things you can do in an anonymized fashion. For example, you go back into the transcript and you fix certain words. That's going to help the system in the future. So that's an iterative process without us as humans getting in, right? Other companies, what they will do is they'll actually have humans go and look and export the data and do all sorts of funny business with it. We don't do that. We we make sure that we are not pulling that data or touching that data in a human-centric way. It's all automated, right? Similar to like if you were to go to Facebook and you engage with certain content, you're going to see more of that content, right? It's anonymous, it's automated. So those are the sort of things you can do to improve accuracy while retaining privacy. The other part of all of this is like, if I were to just use some sort of text, you know, speech to text software, and I have a document that's saved, or even if I have a human that's able to go do transcripts for me that are in like some PDF, that's pretty useless to a person unless all of that data can be leveraged and analyzed and searched across. So one of the things that we did was when we started Fireflies, we said, why is email so powerful? It's because I can remember an email I sent 2 years ago and understand the context. But why is it that conversations don't have that same control F type capability, right? So I have 5 calls or 5 meetings in a day, but by the time I'm finished with my meetings, I've already forgot 10 minutes later. Right. So how do I make sure that I remember conversations I've had 2 hours ago, just like I can remember meetings I had or 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So that's where this stuff started, where first we'll archive this, we'll make it searchable, easily indexable. And that is actually in itself a hard technological problem to do at scale, because it's millions of conversations, lots of text, lots of unstructured data. Now, with the rise of LLMs, we could do even more powerful things on top of this meeting data. One is we introduced our chat assistant, which is like ChatGPT, but for meetings, called Fred, Ask Fred. And you can just go to Fred and ask him any question about a meeting, right? Like how many seats did this customer want to purchase? When did Fireflies raise their Series A round? How much did they raise? You just have a conversation. It's able to pull that information out for you in a very simple, straightforward way. So that way, I don't have to go sit and listen to a meeting for an hour. I don't have to spend 10 minutes reviewing a transcript. I don't even have to spend 5 minutes looking at the summary. I can just go talk, right? And Fred is going to be the most knowledgeable teammate that you can have. Someone that never falls asleep in meetings. It's like having that best friend in class that always takes notes that I can refer back to when I didn't attend class, right? Yeah. That's what we wanted to create Fred to be like. So really being able to pull knowledge, do knowledge retrieval is the biggest USP for Fireflies. But on top of that, you can do really amazing things too, like task extraction. So if I can know what action items were discussed in the meeting and then push that into my task management system, that's really powerful.
Yeah.
If I'm a salesperson, I hate having to go into my Salesforce or Freshworks CRM or Zoho CRM or HubSpot and filling it out manually after every sales call. Fireflies will do that for you. You turn on one of those integrations, it'll go into the record, into the contact, and automatically fill out notes under that person. So think of all the things we have to do manually after a meeting. Fireflies is doing that for you.
That's quite interesting. And it's something that we do as well. I mean, we have our own CRM system and we generally try to manually input the keynotes, but this sort of Firefly sort of becomes the one person which will sort of do that automatically for you. And Fred becomes sort of like a chat GPT, but inside it, our ecosystem where you can sort of look back at all the meetings you've taken and pull out data. Right? And what other role does ChatGPT sort of, or, you know, OpenAI systems like, what else can we do going forward? I mean, I'm asking because, I mean, it's again, like such a buzzword and everyone seems to be talking about it and waiting for the next iteration to come. How does that sort of tie in more and more with you guys? Can meeting assistants or AI assistants drive context from outside the scope of the meeting? If let's say we're talking about, we talked about how much you raised, let's say, can a generative AI assistant also say, hey, you know what, these guys raised this, but there are 10 other comps which raised XYZ and they were raised at that valuation. So you're sort of moving out of the scope of the meeting, but yet adding context to the meeting. So is that something that you guys think about?
I think that's a good way to segue from how can Fireflies go from being an AI meeting assistant to an AI work assistant? And that is really the goal of what does a future operating system for work look like? It's going to be these agents that do work in the background. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we like to look at the world as, the AI note taker is actually one application on top of Fireflies. There's going to be hundreds of other applications. We're going to be having an app store where people can have all of these different functionalities, either that are pre-built or things that they build themselves. So for example, if I wanted to build a quality assurance agent on top of my sales or support calls, and it's going to go and score every one of my reps. Did they say this? Did they mention this? Was the sentiment positive? And then, you know, a lot of times you hire humans to go and do checklists and do quality assurance. You can build a quality assurance bot on top of Fireflies. If you want to take specific insights for board meetings or earnings calls, you can have Fireflies customized just for that. So instead of general summaries, it's able to do like things for that. If I wanted a way to go back through my 100 different customer interviews and pull out all the feature requests and bugs that were discussed that customers complained about and turn it into a backlog inside my project management system, now you have like a PM / Scrum Master bot, right? So there's so many different personas and different things that this bot's going to be able to do, which goes beyond just note-taking. Mm-hmm. And that is with just existing data. It's extremely powerful. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we like to focus on work level data first, because I think that's the most valuable thing, and then start to build on top of that different types of use cases.
Well, I assume in all of these, wider use cases, the fact that once your client kind of, you know, taps a certain part of the application suite, how much is the human intervention from their end to reduce errors or to, you know, iterate? Because I'm sure there'll be like hits and misses, right? And is that a metric you track internally? And is the idea that long-term, the amount of iterations that the client side of the enterprise has to put in should go down?
So a lot of these apps can be built with human inputs and prompts. And ultimately, if you can come up with the right type of prompt and the right set of instructions and right set of examples, you don't need like 1,000 or 1,000,000, maybe even just a few. Mm-hmm. If you're able to cook the right recipe once, it is pretty scalable. Also, this is the whole thing that's going to happen with GPT-5 and beyond. We have to build with the assumption that this technology is only going to get better from where it is today. And so there may be times when you use GPT-4 or GPT-3, and you realize if you run it 10 times, it's going to get it right 7 out of 10 times. The other 3 times, it's going to hallucinate or do something stupid, right? But as we get better, I think like technology like GPT-5 and above, if it runs 100 times, it'll give you the best response 100 out of 100 times. Like that's the goal we're trying to get towards with this technology. We partner with OpenAI and other platforms as well. So I think because of the amount of heavy lifting that Fireflies does for people, they don't mind some of the smaller like inputs or work that's needed, because in their mind, they're like, okay, it's almost as good as a human at taking notes. It's not perfect, but it will beat me if I have to do this every day, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. Mm-hmm. There's no way I'm going to be able to keep up with the AI because even if the AI is 90% and I can do 100%, but the AI can do this 24/7 and I just can't keep up.
Right.
So that's really where this industry as a whole is going. Mm-hmm. And it's not just for Fireflies, but you look at other industries too, where especially robotics and other areas, this is what's happening. Where you're going to have an opportunity where, hey, it's good 90% of the time, but the amazing thing is it's going to be able to do this day in, day out. So we started implementing this same technology into our customer support engine, to be able to answer support tickets and stuff. It's obviously it's not going to be as good as a human in the beginning. But if it takes a human 1 hour to respond, for this, it takes it less than 1 minute.
Right.
And so speed is a huge factor when answering support tickets. Over time, with enough training and knowledge, we are starting to see that it does better than humans on specific like niche areas,
right?
Because it just remembers everything. You just need to remember it once. So that ramp up time and the ability to retain information will be just very hard to compete with at an AI level, right?
Yeah.
So I think humans have to actually learn to leverage AI. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be a good PM, you want to be a good marketer, you want to be a good board member, you probably will need to learn to leverage these tools. Otherwise, you're just not going to be able to scale yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I mean, isn't that true that the PM, would look at it as a tool, right? But it's basically the so-called quote-unquote foot soldiers who'll get nervous or anxious. And I'm sure you're part of the wider industry dialogue also when it comes to, you know, these conversations or concerns. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I can talk in terms of our own set of examples. For example, if the Firefly's support engine that we're building internally is going to be answering a plethora of questions. Let's say it's answering like 70% of questions.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to the existing support agents? Do we just transition them out? No. What we will be doing is we will be leveling them up. Instead of doing reactive support, they're going to be involved in proactive support, more customer success and account management. So there's things above the chain that you can go, which are really, really important in terms of leveling up education, skilling. The simple answer is to just say, okay, AI is going to replace everyone. There's no need for that. But I actually think that you can take people, take the benefits of AI, and help them do less of that redundant, monotonous, paper pushing, pencil, sharpening type roles, and instead get them to do more work that will allow them to be more personalizable, more relevant to the customers that they interact with. So that's kind of our long-term view, is you have to assume that it's going to be automated, right? Like if people still found themselves comfortable sending faxes and paper mail versus like now they have like cold emails that are being blasted to millions of people.
Yeah.
Eventually people learn that channel gets saturated too. And then you had to become more creative in using those channels and writing personalized emails, but then doing it at scale.
Mm.
So yeah, I think there's always going to be things that humans are going to be able to do that AI is not going to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll always have to like oversee it. So one way or the other, the only solution is upskilling talent, especially at the IC level. Yeah.
Right. Agreed. And from a product evolution standpoint, there are a couple of questions that I had on two different standpoints, but both have sort of somewhat of an Indian experience here. One is the language, right? I mean, right now I think English is sort of being done. Like, is regional languages, again from an Indian perspective, but from a global perspective, different international languages, is that sort of next on the agenda, or is that something that's already in the motion? And from an Indian perspective, right, there are a lot of conversations, while English is the official language for most business conversations, but there's a blend of English and Hindi that simultaneously coexists. There will be, people switch in and out of languages and speak how humans speak, which is sort of based on what you perceive as being understood. How does sort of the machine, the engine sort of tackle that? And is that something important going forward in terms of growth? And the second one, I know that it's slightly different, but I'll just ask it anyways. The other important way conversations are taking place are on phone calls or WhatsApp calls. WhatsApp, because people perceive it to be more secure, or whatever, FaceTime calls, some kind of OTT call. Is there some kind of a plugin which does the same thing at a phone call level or a voice level where and it's again a problem statement that we had. I'll speak for 1 hour with the client and after that I'm taking notes while they're speaking, but it's even more difficult, right, to sort of keep up pace. Is that something that you think about as well?
Yeah, lots of areas we can tackle here. So one with languages, we've actually launched 60 plus languages this past quarter.
Okay.
And so Fireflies is able to transcribe meetings and take notes in Spanish, French, German, Portuguese, all the popular lingua franca, Japanese, including Hindi. We'd love to do more regional languages over time, but we're trying to cover most of the geographies today as much as possible with the foreign languages, and then improve the accuracy of that stuff over time to get on par with English. The other interesting thing that you brought up, something that we were thinking about talking through, is what happens if someone's speaking in English for half the meeting and then immediately switch to Hindi or switch to French or something like that. how do you build a real-time model that can adapt and detect different languages? So one of the things we want to be able to do is do language detection between meetings. So if my last meeting was in English, my next meeting is in Hindi, being able to detect that. And then we want to go a step further and do language switches during a meeting in itself. So if I start speaking in Hindi right now, the transcription will reflect that. And the summary will be able to understand both English and Hindi and make sense of it, right? So this is obviously very hard work, but we are taking it one step at a time, but all of these things are being considered in terms of language. But in a real world, like long-term...
Just to cut you there for a second, what's even complicated is from an Indian perspective, even if they speak Hindi, they still want to read it in English. So there's a translation element also that kicks in, right? You can't just use the English.
Which we'll be doing.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, our AI, it sometimes takes other languages and translates them into English by default. And they have to say, no, please translate it into the local language. Because it is most comfortable in English. So I think the translation part, thanks to LLMs, is going to be a little bit more straightforward. You can even ask Fred, let's say the meeting was in English, but then I ask the question in French and I ask you to give me the answer in Spanish, it'll do that.
Yeah. Right.
So that's, I mean, this is game-changing stuff. Like imagine the amount of code we'd have to write 3 to 4 years ago to do this sort of stuff. That's why I'm saying like the rate of change in AI is happening in a matter of days, weeks, and months rather than years. Yeah. In fact, it's going to take a long time for people to catch up. And we've been working on the frontier of this for the last 2 years. We actually got access to OpenAI almost a year before ChatGPT was announced. And we've been working with them. We're fortunate, like Coastal Ventures was the first institutional investor in OpenAI. And Vinod Khosla got me introduced to Sam Altman and the rest of the team there. And they've been very helpful in helping us leverage the system. We have enterprise contracts in place there. But again, like OpenAI, there's Anthropic, there's other systems that are coming up. And who knows, maybe even like Sorghum, which raised a lot of money for specifically LLMs for regional languages. And no surprise there, Coastal Ventures also led that round. There's going to be a lot of partners we could potentially work with to cover languages as well. It is really for those companies a data play more than anything else. Once you have the data and you figure this out and you build this, the technology has been proven. So it's going to be very exciting. Switching topics to capturing conversations on different platforms, one of the things we do have is a mobile app. So if you're having in-person meetings, you can automatically have it capture and transcribe and summarize those in-person meetings that you have. We have integrations to telephony systems like RingCentral and AirCall, Outreach, and all of these other sort of telephony systems where you're making phone calls. It would be great if Android or Apple had a direct support for integrating and capturing calls. But again, due to security and other stuff, that is not available at iOS or Android infrastructure level. But you know, if there are ways we can support that in the future, I would love to explore it because that would be great if WhatsApp had some sort of API where you can pull that.
Yeah.
But realistically, we're working with what we have today with in-person meetings, video conferencing calls, and then telephony calls that are made through some of these VoIP systems.
Interesting. I just want to, you know, go a bit back in history. I understand that at present you obviously have tons of data over which, you know, your models can learn and you can kind of just iterate and add more and more use cases in terms of, you know, adding insights, adding context, making them more searchable, indexable, and so on. But like when you had started at that time, I mean, my assumption is that to kind of even make a basic, you know, kind of speech to text type of a framework, you needed some kind of a starting data points, right? I mean, it becomes a chicken and egg story. So what was the approach in the initial days to make sure that at least the transcription part is, you know, working at a reasonable level?
Yeah, it's important to preface, we don't train on customer data by default. That's actually really important. When we first started building the Firefly stuff way back, we would actually just look at our own conversations that we were having, and we were generating tons and tons of conversations. So initially, the models were skewed more towards tech calls and SaaS type conversations.
Right.
And then we used other vendors and tried different things like Google ASR and Amazon Speech and all these different sort of tools and solutions. So it was a little bit more hacky in the early days, but we literally leveraged our own data to build some of that initial stuff to get the ball rolling, and then allowed users to customize their outputs. And, you know, over enough time, like you crowdsource out the problem over and over again, it'll start to take shape and get refined.
And was there some sort of a barrier to adoption in the beginning, in the sense that were people getting very conscious that, okay, someone, some bot is listening to their conversations when the Zoom kind of client opens up?
Yeah, it definitely started as like, hey, what the heck is this? And the hesitation turned into an incredible opportunity. The compliance thing that someone has to say is like, hey, I have Fireflies on the call taking notes for us. Hope it's okay. And then that immediately kickstarts a conversation around, hey, what is Fireflies? Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. I want to actually try this. Can you send me the notes after?
Right.
And it turned into an incredible viral loop for us. And the nice thing is we're not doing anything, you know, secretly in the background. It was very visible with the bot joining meetings. So, and if people didn't want it, they can just have it kicked out of the meeting or they can change their settings. So in that regard, it actually was a huge value add plus. Just like when you schedule a time on Calendly, you experience Calendly before you even sign up for it. People were, because of people seeing the bot and getting familiarized with the bot on meetings, that helps us get virality, word of mouth, and get activated. And this is why we've been able to scale to taking notes for 10 million people across 200,000 organizations without spending any money on paid marketing.
I don't think we touched privacy in a lot of detail. Like, could you give us a bit of context in terms of, obviously, when you're dealing with enterprise level data, privacy is a major concern, especially if you're later, if you're, I mean, if you are kind of involved in conversations which are more transactional in nature, then privacy becomes even a bigger issue because it might be ring fenced for one party, but might not be for the other one. How does Fireflies as an organization address this from a storage standpoint, from a compliance standpoint?
Yeah. So first and foremost, customers own their data. They can have their data deleted at any point in time, wipe it. So you own your data. That's a very different from most other SaaS AI companies where they're like, oh, I want to use your data and monetize on it and do other things with it. We don't do that. That's why we're a subscription business. Second is we have a lot of the clearances. We have SOC 2 compliance, which a lot of enterprises require. We actually have HIPAA compliance. Mm-hmm. And if customers want, like in healthcare, like a HIPAA version of Fireflies, we can provide that to them. We also have special contracts in place with vendors like OpenAI, where we tell them and we have a signed contract saying we will not store or train on your customer data. We will only process your data for you, but we will not store, retain, or train on it. Most other AI companies can't say that, right? They're probably sending their data to OpenAI and it's being trained on, especially all those cool startups that are coming out and that are being built on top of OpenAI's wrappers. You don't know what's happening with that data. Like we've already heard about what happened with some Samsung engineers sharing some stuff on ChatGPT, like proprietary information that accidentally got indexed into ChatGPT. So enterprise clearance is really important. These are things that our CIOs love to hear that we're doing. And one of the, I think, premier things we're doing that I don't think anyone in our space is doing is we offer private storage. So if you want your data stored on your own separate container, you can do that. And we also have bring your own storage. So if you want to bring your own AWS, GCP storage system and store your data there, we will allow that for enterprises. So giving you full customizability and portability of your data. If you want your data stored in a particular country, we'll be able to support that through this private storage approach. We've had to naturally grow up as an organization and support enterprise requests. The best way to do that is like saying, hey, here's all the things we can do. Here's all the levers we can pull to make sure that your data is safe, right? If we go into finance in the future, like that's industry is going to have different standards. So we're constantly learning and constantly implementing these things.
Right. One thing I'd like to also, you know, touch upon very briefly is fundraising. I mean, not in particular Firefly's own journey, but your view on the wider AI ecosystem. I think like Scott Galloway does a year-end kind of prediction wrap-up in which he was saying that in 2023, obviously AI kind of, AI was the buzzword in most earnings calls. I think that's something that we have read at multiple places. AI and AI adjacent companies locked a very large proportion of venture capital, and then even the kind of multiples that they have been attracting, you know, like guys like OpenAI have looked at like 180 times their revenues in terms of the kind of, you know, valuation that they have commanded with VCs. And he was predicting that 2024 is going to be like AI peak or peak AI, where, you know, things are going to cool down a bit. They're not going to be as you know, hot and volatile as they were in the year that's gone by. What's your prediction about the ecosystem in general and about Fireflies in particular, if you'd like to share?
Yeah, I mean, I think 80% of VC money and attention probably went to AI in 2023. And even companies that were not AI were repositioning themselves as AI companies. You know, we were fortunate that we were working on large text-based systems and we were working on AI before it became cool. So that was definitely helpful. There was a lot of inbound interest for Fireflies in 2023. People hearing about it, VCs hearing about it, knocking on doors. So we hear every week like some sort of interest, which is great. You know, we were just trying to be heads down and not get distracted because it's very tempting and easy to go and raise large rounds of capital. So AI was having its like 2021 movement. Moment, at least in terms of the ability to raise large rounds. But we want to be a lot more pragmatic and not kind of fall to that unnecessary hype. Because I think this is great, like that there is attention being focused on AI. But I would also argue people saw that when mobile came out in the past. Oh, this is a mobile first company. Like that was a common thing people used to use. Or maybe even before, oh, this is a cloud-based software company. No one uses that. Like everyone assumes you're cloud-based now, right? So in the future, maybe everything will just be AI and you don't need to like preface it and make it seem like something more special because every product is going to have some form of AI incorporated into it. Now, all of this money that's being funded, are we going to have a dozen LLM infrastructure companies that are going to win, or are we going to have like two or three? Probably two or three. Like, you had back in the day, you had YouTube, you had Dailymotion, you had all these other big video companies. But clearly, the market power laws usually will triangulate around one or two. So not every one of these investments that are raising at crazy multiples is going to be a winner. But I think VCs are willing to deploy that capital to hopefully pick the right horse to bet on. I think we'll continue to see that trend in 2024. I don't see that slowing down necessarily. Maybe people will become a little bit more pragmatic.
Right.
But as far as I can tell, like, you know, while the rest of the market was slowing down in terms of raising capital, AI companies were definitely in the hot seat.
Oh, thanks.
Fascinating. And it's great to sort of share the journey as well, because you've been sort of ahead of the curve. And it's, you know, we stumbled upon it. For the first time, saw the use case about 6-8 months when we were in a meeting and I saw Fireflies. I'm like, what is this Fireflies? And then I sort of Googled around. Good to sort of chat and learn the story. The fact that you said it's very easy to raise capital is a problem that's unique to you. Trust me. Raising capitals last year has been such a big challenge for a lot of companies. So you have guys knocking on your door is clearly, you're in a very good position and look forward to sort of hearing you guys scale and sort of cover different aspects and move away from not just an AI assistant, but to a work assistant as such, as like you rightly said, and we'll be keeping a close eye on you.